So today I was thinking about all the religious movies I used to watch when I was a kid. And I remember one in particular, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Remember that one? Yes. That was a really good one. Oh my gosh, those pods. I used to check under my bed all the time. Yes. And to see, because they just did it so magically. I mean, you didn't know you went someplace else, but they took over your body. And people would meet you and they'd think you were the same person, but really you weren't. And then I realized one day that I actually had something like that living under my bed. And that it wasn't a body snatcher, it was a mood snatcher. It could take my good mood away. I could get up in the morning, it would be beautiful outside. I'd get up and I'd say, okay, I've been dying. I'm going to get on this little machine here, this little scale. And it would tell me I put weight on. I was like, oh my gosh, I am awful. I am so awful. My mood would just go like that. And then I think, you know, they're right. When you hit a certain age, you just put weight on. They're absolutely right. That's the stories they told me, and they're absolutely right. That's how it works. And this is just what happens to women. And this is what happens, you know. And so I went through this whole thing, and I was really hard on myself. And why is it like I'm depriving myself, and this is going in the opposite direction? And so finally I decided to dismantle that thing, take the needle out. And you know what? It doesn't bother me at all anymore. It really wasn't the machine. It was just that one little gauge of where I could tighten it down and make it stay right where I wanted to or not. But, you know, it's like there's so many things in our lives that we allow thoughts to come in, and it actually affects who we are. So we can walk around for a while looking exactly like we looked before we had the thought. And we can do that for quite a while. But eventually, if the thought is a negative thought, we're going to start seeing it physically. We're going to see it in our bodies. So you can take a thought and just say, you know, I don't need you. I think I'm going to edit you out of my story. And so today's talk is called Important Revisions to Our Own Stories. Because we start to realize by thinking certain thoughts that we're actually building a life. It's actually a life that we're building. It's not like just words and thoughts. They don't really go anywhere. Obviously, they do. They just did the song. Okay? They obviously are sent out someplace, and they actually create something. And it's called your life. So we can make revisions to it. So I could sit someplace 12 years ago and sit and think, it would be so great to do this. And then as time went by, man, I would love to just find some incredible musicians. And then I could think, you know, I'd love to have backyard concerts. And I'd love to have fried fish. But I mean, it's like you just think this. I wanted people to gather and eat and share bread together and become friends. And it just happened. You know, it's like everybody just showed up. And I couldn't help but notice that it really does work that way. And I also noticed that when I was feeling a lot of guilt or fear or whatever, that my story completely changed. So I put down a couple of notes of some stuff we might want to revise, because Nancy Thayer says it's never too late in fiction or life to revise our story. So the first one is to change your point of view from they to I. What's your point of view? So if we notice that we're saying they all the time, then we're talking about people acting upon us. Like I said, they said that as you get older, you put on weight. They said that it's harder for women to lose weight than men. They say a lot of stuff. Now, there's men walking around saying that's not true. But they say, and they could be the government. They could be big business. They could be the environment. They could be anything outside of our control. And then we start going down because we feel like we have no power to change what they are doing. When we move over to I, now we're taking responsibility. They can say whatever they want, and then I decide if I'm going to allow it to come in. If I'm actually going to start taking that thought and running with it, so they can do whatever they want. They can be angry at me. They can do whatever. They can accuse me of things. But only I can allow it to affect me. Only I. So when we do that, that's one point of view we should change. The other one is, are we living in the present moment or in the past? So I had somebody call me from my family the other day who is actually in a nursing home where she said she thought she was safe, and instead she was attacked by somebody who had Alzheimer's. He just, like, she bumped his toe, he went off, he started hitting her. And she said, I didn't even defend myself. I said, what? And she goes, no, I didn't. It threw me back to Mom, when Mom used to hit me. And I just sat there and let him hit me. And I said, you know, you really got to let go of that story. You got to let it go. How old are you now? I'm 73. Okay. That means that for the last, 60 years, you're still living in that story. And no matter where you go, even if you think you're safe, that's the dynamic you're living in, that you're going to attract that. If you pay attention, you will notice that that keeps happening to you over and over again. They are always going to do something to you as long as you live in that story. This would be a great time to clear up the story. So how do we clear up a story? Number two, we could identify whatever's going on in our life, whatever that person's doing to us, whatever they are doing, and say, that's my perfect last straw. I'm done. I am so done with being like that. This person is throwing down a gauntlet and saying, are you going to keep going with this story? Because it's really not serving you. So this is her opportunity to think about, what would I do next time? Or what could I do to revise the story I've been living in about what she did to me? Because what she wanted to do was tell me, you don't understand. I want to tell you again what she did to me. And I said, well, she did stuff to all of us, But it doesn't define who you are unless you use it as the definition of who you are. So if you are the victim of child abuse, if you are that person, then yeah, that's your definition of you. But you got to define it. It was up to you to do it. I decided that was not going to work for me. So we can see people that look like abusers in our lives just being a natural attraction of a dynamic we're already living in, a story we're already living right there anyway. So if I'm going to walk around saying I'm a victim, then I have to have an abuser. I cannot be that victim. And if I'm enjoying that role or not even recognizing I have a choice, that's what I think a lot of people don't realize, they have a choice. Did this really happen to you? Yes, it did. It really did. We're not saying that did not happen. Did it happen to me? Yes. Was yours worse than mine? Probably. But since I didn't know what happened to you, it seemed bad enough to me at the time. Okay, so what difference does it make? I'm not going to get... She wanted to go into a competition of who had the worst one. I said, you win. You got it. But it's not going to get you anywhere. So by looking and focusing all of our attention on the past, we just keep recreating more of the past. So if we want to know, why do I have this cycle, this pattern going on in my life, it's because that's where I live. I actually live in my mind in that story. And therefore, that's the story that continues. So in our own life story right now, in this present moment, we can make real important revisions. We can say, that guy was my perfect last straw. That person was my perfect last straw. And everything is actually asking me to choose something better for myself, to love myself more, just starting with my thoughts. So when that little needle on that machine under my bed that I don't ever pull out anymore, it's not my friend. It lives under the bed. It collects dust bunnies. And I'm going to throw it out today, as a matter of fact. I might donate it to somebody. And let them live with the needle for a while. So, as long as we're doing that, so we just have to decide, am I going to stop pulling it out from under the bed? It doesn't make me happy. Am I going to stop turning on the news? It's not making me happy. Am I going to stop hanging with this person who's very toxic because it's not making me happy? Am I going to choose the people that make me happy? Am I going to choose the thoughts that make me feel really good and energized? What am I going to choose? I have a choice. That's the thing. I really get to choose which thought am I going to grab onto and run with, and which one am I going to let go. And a lot of times I don't even know which thoughts I've grabbed onto until I have the discomfort of the perfect last straw coming up to me. It's like, oh, that's another area to clean up. I didn't realize that. And that's good. So all of a sudden my last straw becomes a gift. They don't know it. But it's just, it's a gift. It's like, you know, I'm so done with that. I'm so done with people pleasing. I'm so done with trying to be everything you want me to be. Whatever. I'm just going to be who I am, and I'm going to be with people that like that one. And I'm not going to live in old stories. And then another thing I can do is I can also add compassion to the story I used to live in. I could have a conversation, which I did a long time ago with my mom, and she shared with me, because I was approaching her differently, that her dad used to beat her mom. And so she picked up a pair of scissors and threatened him. If he ever hit her again, she'd kill him. Now, when you're 10 or 12 years old, that's a pretty tough cookie. And that's who you're going to be, and nobody's going to hurt you again. Because that was her life. That was her story. So that's who she was. Until one day I went over and hugged her in my 40s and said, I love you. And she melted. So we can take a lot of these stories we live in and we can begin to reshape them with compassion. So I shared that with my sister last night, not the part where I hugged her and stuff like that, but the part that mom had her story too. And everybody that we're encountering has their story and they're living at their level of understanding at the time. They're doing the best they can. And you telling them you need to change your story isn't going to do anything. What I did yesterday was just move my mouth. That's all I did. It wasn't received because she's not ready to let go of the story. But it, who knows? Some other last straw will show up. So we worked on what she could know yesterday. And I said, I see this unfolding perfectly. She said, they are not protecting me. They're not getting rid of him. They're acting like they didn't see anything. I said, they don't want to get sued. That's what it is. But they're going to take care of this because they can't afford to have this guy in this place who doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't intentionally set out to do this because he doesn't even know he did it. Okay, so compassion can change a lot. And then just say, here's what I see for you. And she said, really, will you do that for me? I said, yes, we could actually do that together if you wanted to. She goes, yeah, I would like that, to know that I'm going to be moved out of harm's way, that this is all working behind the scenes and I just don't know it. Because she doesn't want to move out of there because she's been kicked out of two other places. Okay? And this is the best it's going to be. So when you know where some the parameters of where somebody's working or where you're working, you choose the best possible story you can in that present moment because that's the only moment there really is. There's only this moment right now. But we can keep alive old stories because we bring them right into the present moment. So the story is alive from the past. If we bring it to the present, it's still happening. Number three, listen to the tone of your inner dialogue. So what are we saying to ourselves? How do we talk to ourselves? Are we being kind? Are we being loving? Are we supporting ourselves? Are we allowing a best friend to live inside of us? So I love the one, that the quote from Jesus, because when I used to hear this in the Bible, it was like, for by your words, it doesn't say in that one, by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. That sounds really strong. It sounds like going over to George and like, George, by your words, you'll be justified. By your own words, you're condemned. You're going to be condemned to hell. You're all going over there. Or, you know, I could walk over and say, you know, George, you know, I love you so much. And, you know, do you realize that what you're doing, it's you that are causing this to happen, okay? But if you choose, you're responsible. But, you know, you're justified also, because when you ever decide you want something better for yourself, that will be justified. So when we talked about Judgment Day means here's what you just made. That's it. Get to look at what you just made. Is this what you want? Okay, maybe not. Then choose something else. So it's not, it's a, I picture that quote there being a much softer tone of voice, just explaining something to me, not really talking about condemning me. So, four, move from the small self to the larger self. Move from, I'm just some little personality who got dropped here in the physical plane. I don't know what the rules are, and I'm just lost. And it's a birth to death proposition. This is it. And some of us get dealt a bad hand. Some other people are very lucky. And this is little, tiny, insignificant self to a larger, expansive, eternal self who actually comes in here, has a body, puts it on like clothing, moves around, does good things, creative things, is able to touch and smell and hug, things that in the spiritual realm aren't possible, aren't needed, can hear, and continues on, but here for the experience, and it's a great adventure. And all things are open and available to that self and not limited at all. So when we expand beyond this lifetime, then we know there's really nothing that could ever harm who and what we really are. Anything could happen here, but it does not move the center of who we are. When we remember that, then as people, they come up to us, they can say whatever they want, but it does not move me because I know who I really am. And you know who you really are, don't you? Five, change the focus from what you don't want to what you do want. Taking our energy and saying, I'm not going to go over and just keep talking about all the things that are going wrong. I'm going to talk about what's going right here and what I would love to have happen in my life. So last night we had a concert, and I could feel myself shifting my attention. So here's Salt of the Earth playing. It's a beautiful night. Everything's perfect, wonderful people. And there's a jackhammer playing in the background. And I could feel myself like, the jackhammer. We need to go talk to the man about the jackhammer. And he'd been using it all day. And I thought, the guy's got to be so rattled by now, surely. But, evidently there's new jackhammers I don't know about. And so we turned to Joe, our retired police captain, said, isn't there something we can do? Nope. It's legal. It's right hours. It's their place. They can do what they want. So we decided we would all incorporate jokes into the jackhammer concert, which slowly became the Salt of the Earth concert. But I noticed as soon as I took my mind off of why doesn't he stop, why don't I go talk to him, you just don't tell a man with a jackhammer he's got something going wrong. I wasn't going to win this one. I could tell that. Choose your fights. That was not one of them. So, but once I said, you know what? I'm absolutely okay with the jackhammer. I'm perfectly fine with the jackhammer. It's all good. I'm not going to let the jackhammer bother me. It's just perfect, just the way it is. And like a minute later, the jackhammer stopped and never started again. And I think a lot of people had that same thought. It's like, I'm not going to focus my attention on the jackhammer anymore. I'm done with it. And if it wants to stay in the background all night, it can stay there. And we'll notice that, like if we're in a traffic jam or running late or something, when we can be okay with what it is and not resist what is and just say, that's what is. It's amazing how it releases its hold on us, and it just seems to unfold perfectly, and things just go away. So it's another revision we can always make to change our focus from what we don't want. So much of the time, we look at our body, and we say, oh, that hurts right there. That hurts. And then it hurts here. And then we decide we're going to go research what hurts us in that one spot. And then we might want to gather at coffee shops and talk about it, all of our aches and pains with everybody, because that's fun. You win today. You have more things wrong with you than I have wrong with me. I'm going to work on that. So then, it's like we can decide, but what we need to understand is because of what we really are, we're taking all of our energy and focusing it on that, and now we're going to have something that's going to expand. That's why I say if you don't feel so good and you got a headache, take 2 ibuprofen or whatever you choose. Get your mind off of it as soon as possible. Don't say, oh, no, here's another headache. I must have this condition now. I probably have a brain tumor. I looked it up. But it really will get continually worse. The other thing we could do, instead of the headache, we could say, you know, it's amazing. I can move my hands, my arms, my legs. I breathe. I'm not even thinking about this. My heart is pumping. You know, there's a blue sky. There's all this stuff going on. All these things are going right without me even thinking about it. The sun comes up. It goes down. Everything's cool. So there's an intelligence here that is here everywhere all the time. I'm going to let it take care of this and two ibuprofen. Okay, the last one, insert infinite possibilities. So if we have a story of lack or limitation, we simply insert all things are possible. You know, we don't have to say how it's going to happen. We just have to be open to some way it's going to come in, whether it's the relationship, the job, the decision, the resolution, whatever it is. Just, I haven't even been able to think about it. My little personality brain, my little self can come up with two or three ways that it could happen. But in reality, when you talk to people, it's amazing the synchronicities. It's amazing how things are woven into our life, and people and things that we think we're done with a long time ago show up again. Ha, ha, ha. So it is. I mean, it's just amazing that you can say, I would love to do this and have these incredible musicians, and we do. And you've got that in your life, too, and you don't even realize when we meet people or hear about something that it becomes part of our story. And as long as we don't put a limit on it, then that creative energy is going to be there working on that. But if we're focusing on what we don't want, our creative energy is going to work on that. Nobody's being punished. Nobody's being judged. It's just moving the energy. What I have noticed, though, is that energy is a loving energy. That when I work outside of love and into fear, when I feel anger, guilt, lower level, what I call lower level because I feel my body going down, that my life doesn't work as well, my body doesn't work as well. And that when I do focus on loving myself and feeling expansive and loving towards other people and I live in gratitude, that my life starts working again. So I'm going to say it's not just some old, plain old creative energy. It's a loving creative energy because I can feel it supporting and flowing through me very easily at those times. And it's like I'm pouring lead on myself when I go down lower. I've learned that I need to be around people who also do that. I know if I want to live in infinite possibilities, I don't want to surround myself with a lot of negativity. But it has to start here first, all the time. I really, truly do believe that all things are possible and that we can make important revisions and that we're asked to make important revisions all the time. And I do believe that we're all doing really, really well and that we're really good. Thank you.